Good morning, everybody, again, and we're beginning a new sermon series today called Replenish, Loving and Living from a Healthy Soul. And we're looking and hoping and praying and anticipating some cool water for our dry, parched souls, no matter where we're at. There are times where we just get sucked dry, and we're looking for a break from all the heavy lifting of work. Some vacation time maybe, some tough physical things we're going through, a school year. Anybody happy the school year's wrapping up? I would have been like screaming, dancing in the aisles. You don't need to do that. Okay, all right, so let's have school for the summer. Whoa, no. From the heaviness of a cold winter and also some of the cold winter relationships we may have been going through. So as we're thinking about those items, those circumstances, those experiences, we really do want to be able to love and live out of a healthy soul. And so as we move into the summer, we really sometimes are looking for permission to get replenished or looking for what that would really look like. And that reminds me of this guy.
Bob, I'd like you to take a long look around you. What does everything you see here have in common?
Vacation.
Vacation.
Now, I can't, Bob, at this time, give you the kind of therapeutic attention you need to solve all your problems, and you know why.
You're on vacation.
Exactly. What I can do is this.
Don't give me pills. I already have pills.
This is not pills. Read it.
It says, take a vacation from my problems.
I'm giving you permission to take a vacation, Bob. Not a vacation from your work and not a vacation from your daily life, but a vacation
from my problems.
Exactly. Now, I want you to get on that bus and go back to New York. But every single time a problem arises, I want you to take that prescription out and follow it to the letter, doctor's orders. I'll see you in New York, in my office, in 1 month.
You've given me a great gift, doctor. The gift of life. You're a great man. I knew coming up here was the right thing to do.
It feels right because you're here. And it feels right because you're leaving.
Have a great vacation.
You too, Bob.
A vacation from my problems!
Wouldn't that be great if you could get a prescription written that says vacation from my problems? Wouldn't it be nice if it worked that way? And maybe this is over-promising, and you're going to say, I've heard this before, and I don't want to be over-promised, undelivered. But I think as we walk through this series, you're going to see that you don't necessarily get a vacation from your problems, but you don't have to live under them. You can still be engaged with life, walking through what this life has to offer, but you don't have to be enslaved by them. Again, we're thinking about vacation. We're thinking about it because it's almost summertime. It's officially, unofficially summertime. That's not the way you're supposed to pronounce that is summer. But that's the way you're supposed to say it if you know how to speak. But anyway, we haven't had much of that going on. You know, it's been kind of rainy all the time and cold, but we're longing for that. We're longing for family, friends, cookouts, relaxing, campfires, long weekends away, and maybe a week or two this summer, whatever that may be. And all with the dream of, in a sense, catching our breath, kicking back, getting energized, and just maybe replenished. So hopefully we're setting the table for your summer for the month of June as we walk through this together. Now, some of you online are probably still on vacation, and we don't like you, but enjoy your weekend away, because we're home. But again, the idea of vacation. And the hope is that as we start to put it together, no matter how crazy life is going, we'll get to the place where it's not like we're unaware of hard things, but the hard things aren't owning us, and we are replenished, and we are loving people and living from a healthy soul rather than a burdened, heavy soul that at times lashes out or at times internalizes so much, and it's just, we're just miserable. So we want to get through that, and I hope as we walk through this, we'll have some tools to help us with us so that by the end of the series, we can be like good old Bob.
Guess what? Ahoy! I sail! I'm a sailor! I sail!
Keep sailing, Bob!
Out of my life, Bob! Keep sailing! But wouldn't it be great not to be tied up by your family or your friends, but to really feel the, in a sense, the air in your face, the breeze in your hair, and even though everything isn't fixed, you say, I'm replenished and I'm sailing. Well, to get there, we need to realize that there is a curse of a soul's restlessness. You see, really what's happening is we become restless, and we can become restless for a number of reasons, and we've got this soul, and we need to make sure that we're thinking about that, and we're thinking about, in a sense, living beyond the curse, being above the curse when it comes to this soul's restlessness. We're going to go all the way back to the beginning, and we read this. And the Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, I'm not going to try to unpack, you know, soul, spirit, all of that, but the idea that there is our physical body, but there's also our soul, our essence, our being, what God has breathed into us, what relates with God. And we need to realize that we are not a body with a soul. We are not a body with a soul. We are a soul with a body. We need to understand that. Sometimes we need to think about we're not a human being having a spiritual experience. We're a spiritual being having a limited human experience, because someday we'll celebrate that and remember that when we reflect on communion. Someday the world is set right. Someday those who have said yes to Christ will have resurrected bodies, and all the limitations will be gone. You can get a little glimpse of what a resurrected body is like when you look at Jesus after the resurrection, and that's just a hint. I'm not going to build a big case for what is and what isn't, but it's great. And so it's interesting this week. I did a couple committal services. I've got another one in another week and another one in a couple weeks. And just reminding ourselves that that's just a shell. And then some people will ask me, well, how does that all work? What if you were cremated? What if, you had an accident and, a piece of you is over here and a piece is over you? I'm not trying to figure that all out. Jesus has got that handled. It's very clear. Resurrected physical bodies, perfected, the fancy word is glorified. God is totally recognized in us. No sin. That's what's in store for us. So we're not a body with a soul. We are a soul with a body, and we need to understand that. But that kind of leads us into this idea of what we have to deal with. We read in Genesis, now you are under a curse. When you work the ground, this is Cain who killed Abel. It will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer of the earth. The idea that sin and all of that just disconnects us from God. Even when we've said yes to Christ, there is this piece of us that still wanders. We sometimes sing that hymn, you know, about wandering. It's a part of us. It hasn't been worked all the way out. We haven't been sanctified all the way. We're still working out our salvation, integrating it into life, those kinds of ideas. And so because of that, we have this restlessness, this wandering. We're not easily satisfied. We want more. And on one level, that's good. Better yourself. Please do that as much as you can. But understand your capacity. Learn your own capacity. You know, I don't know about you. The minute you seem to receive something, a lot of times you're like, now I want the next thing. You thought this would be great. You're just not easily, content. Isn't that the 10th commandment idea of being content? Or the 9th, I think it's the 10th. And it's the idea of just being, it's kind of fleeting. And understanding who you are in Christ. And because of that restlessness, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, experienced that restlessness, even though he was the wisest guy. So if he's the wisest man who ever lived, and he has restlessness, we need to be aware that we can also be prone for this. We see the frustration when he says this. What do people really have after all their work and struggle in this life? Throughout their life, they have pain, frustrations, and hard work. Even at night, a person's mind does not rest. Aren't you happy you're here this morning? Yay! Just building the case. We need to be replenished regularly, and we'll see how that is. But this idea of even at night, a person's mind does not rest. And some of you are looking like last night was one of those nights, but and a week of those nights, a month of those nights, and life weighs heavy. There's this restlessness. Got a list of just a few things I'm just going to hit. And then what I'd like you to do on your own is you can look up the corresponding passages that go along with these. But this comes again from Solomon, wisest man who experienced this restlessness, this wandering that we all have. And all of us have, in a sense, different amounts of it. Some of us wander more. Some of us, you've got to know yourself. Sometimes I've spoken to a person and they'll be asking me for some, guidance or whatever. And I try to measure in my mind their restlessness, because sometimes someone's a restless person. It's so apparent that it presents all the time that they're bouncing from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing. They need to scale that back. And then there's some of us who never get out of our seat. I mean, this really shouldn't say this. You ought to be a little restless. You ought to be a little inspired. But this idea of struggle and, this wandering. So we come to realize, and sometimes that's the reason we don't get out of our seat, right? We come to realize that effort that doesn't deliver. You know, there are glass ceilings. There are things that just don't come together for us. And sometimes there's a person that seems to have the Midas touch, the magic touch, and they get frustrated with people that don't have it. Remember a friend of mine, everything he touched went well. And then he almost had contempt for people that couldn't get out of their own way. And some of that was because they couldn't get out of their own way. Sometimes that was because that was it. They could do everything and it wasn't going to deliver. It was interesting when that friend of mine had a part of a business of his that failed, he almost couldn't believe it. But it was a great life lesson for him. He learned that, wow, I need to ease up on some of these people I know that are really trying hard, and I always thought they need to try harder, but that really isn't it. There was like it wasn't happening. So Solomon realizes this, and again, this is in this wandering, in this curse of all of this. Also, consumption that does not satisfy. We could look at Isaiah and see that. Look at those cisterns that people make, those water catch basins that are leaky and have bad water in it, just doesn't taste good. And here's Jesus, the everlasting water, and we opt for that. What is going on with us? But we've all done it. Sometimes we have a gift that we value more than the gift giver, Jesus. I'm always reminding myself of that. Man, God, you gave this. You enabled me to do this. Without you, even the things that seem to have come together because of my hard effort, it's you behind the scenes all the way. But consumption that doesn't satisfy. I tell you, if you're in that mode and you're looking for the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, how long will it take for you to realize that the next thing isn't going to do it? I had another friend at 40 realize that. Changed his life dramatically. Then other guys just keep going, 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 and think, oh, maybe it was just this. This would taste better. This would be better. You know, how many times, how many years do you have to bang your head against the wall? I mean, I've been there on certain items. I'm like, if I just have this, then satisfaction, and it does not satisfy. Newness, that's old. You think you discovered something, and you realize everything has kind of already been there, done that. You think you're revealing something new. And yeah, there can be technology and those kinds of things, but when it comes to the heart, the human condition is the same. That's why as we look at the kings, we see, David and Solomon and Rehoboam and all these guys, and they have it all, but it just doesn't cut it. We look at our world today. The world is not going to be solved by some clever whatever. The world is only solved by Jesus Christ, changing the actions of a group of people. The more people that express a new life in Christ, the bigger difference it makes. That's called revival, and that's revival is not necessarily for those who don't know Christ, who haven't said yes to Christ. Revival is for the Christ follower. I have another friend he's tried to really sink his teeth into church. He was a great business leader and it struggled with it a little bit because it just doesn't seem to be moving the way it logically should move, and he's very helpful, but it's like he can't get out of his own way. And he was talking to me, he says, I feel like 80% of the Christ followers, not the non-Christ, the Christ followers just aren't all in. And if they were all in, it would change everything, beginning with their own life. Again, this wandering. Wisdom that disappoints. You ever brought all the answers to a situation and it doesn't solve the situation? You quote a Bible verse here and there and it doesn't stick. It doesn't stick in your own life. It doesn't stick in the other person's life. Or you see the underbelly of wisdom. It just is not the answer. Yes, it's good to be wise. It's good to know how to use wisdom, knowledge, but it's not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Nothing more, nothing less. Fun that's flat. Some of us have really tried the fun button, and it's left us flat. Left us more unsatisfied than when we began. There's the fun things that are acceptable fun things. Then there's the fun things that are a little risky, a little unacceptable, a little more unacceptable, and none of it delivers, yet we think it ought to. Work that doesn't work, all been there. And then the reality is death. That is unavoidable. Unavoidable. 100% of us will die someday. Just don't know when. Are you ready for it? This week I got to a hospital bed, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes late before the person had gone home to be with the Lord. It's inevitable. Are you preparing? Are you spending more preparation for retirement that may never come? More preparation for a college experience that may never come. Whatever it may be. And that's not to feel grim. It's just don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. And Solomon's like, I do all this, I build all this, I do all these great things, and it doesn't fill my heart. Maybe for a moment, but not permanently. Of what Hebrews says, don't be obsessed with getting more. Be relaxed with what you have. This isn't a direction of complacency and laziness, but it's be relaxed with what you have. Since God assured us, I'll never let you down nor walk off and leave you. It's interesting. You start off with getting more stuff, having more stuff, but the real bottom line, the real security in life is that God will never leave you. Never, ever, 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 ever. We could say it together for the rest of the service. Ever leave you. It's amazing. I am just so pumped and excited to see the expressions of hearts changed and growing and investing in the work and the mission of Seneca Community Church. It's all Jesus. It's all God. It's all the Holy Spirit. And I was talking with someone who was coming in. I was probably said this to a couple people. I'm just trying to relax and enjoy what is happening. Just suck in the moment. I think I said it to Josh. I said, Josh, because I know this is a broken world and it's not going to last forever. It's nothing about you, nothing about me. Next week, all of a sudden, some crazy thing could happen. So enjoy today. Enjoy the sun while it's shining. Now it's not shining, but this morning it was. Enjoy the screen while it works. Enjoy the building. Enjoy a room pretty full, but not full seats, full hearts, I hope. Just relax with what you have. Again, don't sit on your laurels, but at the same time, enjoy what you have. So, you got the curse. Had to come up with another C. You've got the cure for soul's restlessness. If you're going to replenish, you've got to have the cure. The problem for many of us is we don't like going to the doctor. How many of you like going to the doctor? No one. I do like going to the NP who's my gastrologist. The reason I said that, because she's in this room. But anyway, besides that, I don't like going to the doctors. My parents are professionals at it. But anyway, right, Mom and Dad? But what is the cure? We don't want to do that. And yes, there's a typical thing where men really don't want to lean into it because we don't want to show that we have anything lacking. We don't want to double check on our restlessness. I was going to show you a different video this morning, and I called one of the elders, one of the leadership teams, who's my friend. I showed it to him. I said, what do you think of this? He said, No, I'm not. I'm not even going to tell you what it is. I've only told a couple people. But anyway, he was right. He was right. I was looking for validation, and I knew I really wasn't going to get it, but I was hoping. So, back to the idea of the cure. This is kind of a little fun thing about the idea that men don't like to go to the doctor.
At One Medical, our motto is healthcare for all. But one group was being left behind, men aged 20 to 45. Compared to women, they're less likely to see a doctor and more likely to seek medical advice from social media or podcasts. We knew we had to do better in order to reach these men. That's why we developed MedCast, the doctor's appointment that feels like a podcast.
Hey, what up, what up? Our guest today is Kevin Jones.
Oh, I love him.
Hey, welcome to the studio, bro.
But thanks for having me.
Again, MedCast is not a podcast. It's a real doctor's appointment that feels like one, allowing men to be honest in a way they never would with a normal doctor.
So, like, how are your stools?
Stools is good.
Any blood in them things?
No blood.
Sick.
Let's go!
Dude, I used to hate going to the doctor. MedCast isn't like that. We just, like, vibe.
Hey, man, you still party, right?
I know you party.
No.
Right?
I'll have a couple drinks here and there.
Okay. Yeah, right. How many would you say you have in a week?
Oh.
Medcast creates a supportive, lighthearted environment that puts men at ease and allows doctors to do their important work.
Get out the bicep measuring machine!
136 over 91!
That's not good.
Best of all, with Medcast, men are 80% more likely to return for follow-up.
Gotta have you back on. What do you say, like in 6 months?
Yeah, if you'll have me.
Medcast out.
Medcast from One Medical. Only thing I should mention is that we do post the episodes.
What does God have to do for you to really look at the cure for your soul's restlessness? Do you have to do Medcast? Biblecast? What's he have to do? What does he have to do? Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Is that really reflected in your life? Is it reflected in my life? I can wrap myself up in church stuff and look like I rest in God, look like I believe salvation comes. You can, this salvation, this passage merely means protection. We can also apply it to saying yes to Christ, our salvation, being born again, all that goes along with that. We'll talk a little bit about that as we celebrate communion. But is that really accurate? What would God have to do? What kind of lollipop would he have to give you to get you to look at the cure? Augustine says this: you made us for yourself, our Lord, and our soul is restless until it finds rest in you. I'm going to say this with a little bit of boldness. I'm going to say this with a little bit of pushiness. I'm going to say, Dave, what are you doing? If you are restless, it's a soul issue. It is a soul issue. It's not a new job issue. It's not a new spouse issue. It's not new kids or new parents. It's not necessarily even a new church. It's a soul issue. Where is your soul at? Do you anticipate? I've said this before. I actually, on the front of my devotional sheet that I use, I'm so distracted, I have to have everything written down. I've learned that about myself. If I don't write it down, it's like, so that's one reason you have a message guide. That message guide, that's as much for me and my preparation as it is for you. But, restless, soul care. That's where it's at. Because this other stuff is all peripheral. It's all around the edges. Do you probably believe that statement, but do you live that statement? And I'm going to say this, I really don't mean it. But if you can't come to terms with that statement, you might as well not come back for the next 4 weeks. That's the foundation. That's the bottom line. You may have to struggle to see what that looks like in your life. It's always a struggle, again, because we're prone to wandering. That's a part of the deal. It's a part about being human. It's a part of the human condition. That's why things are blowing up all around the world, is people are just being selfish. Selfish sin. I want what I want. I want the power. And most of us have limited amounts of influence, limited amounts of power, so we can exercise it in our little world. And then you've got big boys like Putin and all this, who can exercise it worldwide, or at least Ukraine-wide, and you got a guy in China, all this kind of thing. Our own president, some of it's good, and some of it's just self-centeredness. Sin, out of step with God. Till we come to not the realization, but the acceptance and the anticipation that God wants to speak into your lives daily, regularly, throughout your day, you're going to be restless. And this is going to sound very mean, and I kind of say it to me, Lord. But as long as I'm not finding this true, I pray the restlessness grows in your life and my life. Because we're missing it. Yeah, you may have said yes to Christ. You may have your ticket to heaven, and I'm delighted for that. But you're missing out on everything. Trying to figure out where to mention this. You're going, what's Dave about to mention this? I have one ticket left for the Warriors Conference. Free to you. First one up here who puts a 20 in my hand. No, just first one up here. 50, 100. No, I'm going to have a little. No. First one that talks to me about it, it's yours. Leaving at 1 o'clock on Thursday, getting back around 4 o'clock on Saturday. You know. Anyway. But that's a part of it. That actually is a part of it. You got to put yourself in God's path or be aware of God's path, and something like that can help you. So our souls find rest in God alone. Very familiar verse we like to live in because we're trying to get hope for the restlessness, but we're really not trying to apply it. Are you tired? Yes. Worn out? Yes. Burned out on religion. Some of you are here kicking the tires. Some of you have had terrible experiences. Some of you are going through the motions like you hadn't had a terrible experience, but you've held on to it, and it's just like a rock in your shoe, and you can't let it go. And I'm not trying to minimize it. It's wrong. Maybe I did it. Maybe I said the wrong thing to you. Come to me, not all at once. But, but this idea that, you're burned out. And you go, how does that even come up in Matthew 11, 28? How does Eugene Peterson do that? If you look to the verses, the context, you can see it's all about religion burning people out. The weight the Pharisees put on the people without lifting a finger to help them. That's one reason in our church we really try not to. We try to point you to Christ. We try to let the Holy Spirit do his convicting work, not guilt, but convicting work. But we try not to beat you over the head. Try not to add a lot of extra stuff. But are you burned out on religion? Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. So how many of you have spent time with the Lord in the last few days? I mean, like real time. Not it is a starting point. So if you haven't started, like 2 seconds while you're watching the news, are you really engaged? Are you really focused? Or is it just, yeah, I'm tired, I'm burned out. Jesus says, come to me. You're like, come to me, Jesus. And you're not getting away with him. It just won't work. I'm trying to lose a little weight. Someone noticed today, thank you. Got a way, way, way to go. Got about 100,000 Ben and Jerry's to work off my system. But anyway, I can feel overweight. I can feel tired. I can feel all these things. But until I lessen my ice cream intake, nothing is going to happen. It's just a pipe dream. Do you feel this way? You have the answer, but you're not taking the cure. You're not taking the medicine. I'm not taking the medicine. And I tell you, it's hard. I spent a lot of time in God's word for you. But when does it intersect really with my life? That's huge. That's huge. Am I really coming away, or am I preparing a speech, a presentation? So it's hard. Show you how to take a real rest, a real vacation, if you will. Again, walk with me and work with me. It's interesting. Walk with me. It's like, walk with me and serve with me. So even if you're, that's another whole thing, if you walk with Jesus but don't serve with him, big gap, big gap. And I'm saying this for your spiritual well-being, not to get something done. It's your spiritual restlessness is on the line. It's not about getting a job done. Watch how I do it. I challenge you to read through those first four books of the New Testament called the Gospels, all about how Jesus walks through life from different points of view. Yes, it all fits. If you really want to study and see some things out of order, some books go by themes more than chronological order, which just messes with us because we're chronological order people. But anyway, are you really walking with him, watching him? Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Receive grace like breathing. I won't lay anything heavy on you or ill-fitting on you. Do you really believe that? My yoke is easy, more traditional renderings. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Do you really want to live lightly? Do you really want to live freely? What do you need to give up? What rhythms of life are you allowing to control your life? What patterns? Even some of us, maybe we exercise too much. We, you know, it's good to be healthy, but spiritually healthy, remember, we're a soul. It shouldn't be either or. Maybe our kids are in too much stuff and it's shaping our family. I joke about not becoming the clogging family. Mariah wanted to be a clog dancer. And there's a group of people that clog. They have these fancy $500 dresses. They clog on the weekend. They clog every. I'm like, she's good at it. I'm like, I'm not becoming the clogging family. It didn't have anything to do with being a pastor. I'm not doing that. I'm not driving all over Northeast going to clogging competitions. And, you know, she was good, but she wasn't Olympic. I don't even know. Do they have Olympic clogging? I don't know. But I just wasn't going to define our family. Some of that was selfishness. I didn't want to do it, but I didn't want to spend the money. But some, I just didn't want. I watched other people. And it's funny, the other clogging people, a lot of them were Christ followers. And they couldn't understand why we didn't want to join the clogging family. I was just like, not happening. So you've got the cure, but how about the course? We started to hint at that. Some of this is to be still before God, which is so hard for us to do. To be still before God. Quiet. We'll take a minute or two during communion and just be quiet. And we're like, what do we do? What do I think about? What about? And then we start thinking about our grocery list or what we're going to have for lunch or, you know, whatever. It's too hot in here. It's too cold in here. Screen's blinding me. It's not blinding me. I wish it was bigger. I wish it was smaller. Lights are bright. I mean, you know what I mean. Some of us are counting the lights. Good luck at that. I should just give you the number and ruin it for you. But there's 35. Now someone, when I said that, someone's going to start counting to confirm that. You're wandering, buddy, if you're doing that, okay? Be still. He says, be still and know that I am God. You've got to slow down, spend time before him. Not distracted by things. Some of us do this by just enjoying a beautiful sunset, sunrise, whatever it is. You'll be able to figure it out. But if it's something you really want, you'll know how to do it. When I wanted Cindy to like me, I figured it out. I had no idea. No idea because I was a guy, and then no idea because it was Cindy. I was just trying to figure it out. Famous line, she goes, David Spencer, you think you're so funny. That was a cue that what I was doing was stupid. So I knew not to do that again. God will give you cues like that. He'll also give you cues when you get a kiss, all right? No, anyway, too much. And then I love the way the message says, step out of the traffic, take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. Be still before God. Make sure your politics don't become your God. That's not the answer. And I'm probably as addicted as anyone else to watching that stuff. It's not the answer, and I get caught up with it. 100 years from now, it won't matter. And those of us who think maybe the Lord's coming back before then, it's really, really, really not going to matter. I've kept my feet on the ground. I've cultivated a quiet heart. Like a baby content in its mother's arms, my soul is a baby, is baby content. Wait, Israel, for God. Wait with hope. Hope now, hope always. Quiet before, still, but there's also this idea of waiting. 2 weeks ago, we talked about prosperity theology, and we do believe in that on one level, because someday when you go see Jesus, when you're in heaven, and then eventually there's a new heavens and earth, you will be prosperous. You're a son or daughter of the King. The King. You're a part of the kingdom. All those things wrapped together. So you can wait for God, even if it's 90 years. Think of the Israelites that went into captivity for 70. Think of the Israelites when they were in Egypt for 400. Think of the silent years of 400. Think of the disciples who thought Jesus was going to come back next week. Think of the people that went through World War II thinking, this must be it. And here we are still waiting on God. And as Americans, we pride ourselves in doing everything possible not to have to wait. Waiting on God. Quiet down before God. Be prayerful before Him. Don't bother with those who climb the ladder, who elbow their way to the top. Don't try to make things happen on your own, but I'm also saying don't try to just sit back and let go and let God. There's a let go and let God, but there's also a do your part. I am waiting for the Lord to help me. My soul wails for Him. I trust what He says. I am waiting for my Lord like a guard waiting and waiting for the morning to come. I can remember having some really restless nights camping and just longing for the sun to rise, thinking I heard weird animals out there, so I stay in my protected tent. What's a tent going to do for you? But anyway, just staying in there. I told you a story one time. I heard something in the woods, and we were up in the White Mountains somewhere. I go, what is that? What is that? Finally, I got the nerve to shine my light out the window. It was a bunny rabbit. I was worked up over a bunny rabbit. So I tackled it and had it for breakfast. No, I didn't do that. As you wait, three great questions. What do you want to say to me, God? Some of you don't even have to ask that question. You already know. You've just said, No, I'm always amazed that Abraham got up immediately the next morning and did what he was told to do when it was the process with his son Isaac. Amazed that Joseph got up in the middle of the night and took his family back away out of Israel. Amazed at these people that instantaneously did the hard thing. You may already know it. I like this one because I like to come to my devotional time, my time with God in the morning with anticipation. I say, what do you want to show me? Most times He does show me something. I'm not going to promise you can have dry seasons, but I've got enough. If I write things down, I could probably go back in the past and find things from a month ago that He wanted to show me that I just have kind of blown off. Doesn't need to show me anything more. What do you want to do in me? How do you want to change me on the inside? When He changes me on the inside, the outside gets changed. When I just change the outside, I have the inside still telling me to function and react or respond differently. I love when my heart changes, so I don't have to have the brakes on. I just am who I am in Christ, and I don't have to filter things. I don't have to say, ooh, don't say that. I just am, because he's in me. What do you want to do in me? How do you want to transform me? I couldn't help but mention this whole growth process we're going through. Some of us, the follow study, the share study, the serve study, the mentor study, all of this helps us answer those three questions. Those four little studies on one level are enough. You don't need any more information. You do that, you're going in the right direction. It's basic, Dave. What does that say? It's basic. Is the basic in your system? Is it in your heart? Has he done that in you? Every time I go through it, I go through the same ones over and over again. It's like I look at the same passages over and over again. But there's something new and sweet when I come with anticipation. When I come with, oh, show me something, with a little bit of a chip on my shoulder, don't get anything. When I visit another church and I size it up and I go, oh, they're not on their game really. Then I leave going, that church wasn't on its game. If I go in there going, man, what are you going to teach me in this different setting that does things a little differently than I would do them? What are you going to teach me? You have me here for a reason. What am I going to learn if I'm listening? What am I going to change? You're going to change inside. Obviously, another thing to help us from this whole course is to reflect on God's goodness. Already talked about that a little bit. I said to my soul, relax and rest. God has showered you with blessings. He is caring for you. Soul, you've been rescued from death. You have heaven in the future. Eye, have you been rescued from tears? You can at least rest in him. We know that someday Jesus will wipe those tears. And foot, you were kept from stumbling. I know there's a lot of times where the Lord intervened and kept me from stumbling. Such a great thing when all of a sudden he shows up. We were Friday morning, it was kind of interesting. Our group gets together. It's about 16, 17 guys. It's a rip-roaring time. And asked so-and-so to pray this week. And then another day I bumped into him. He said, you know, the other night I just had a feeling, and you know, you can't base life on feelings, but he said, I had a feeling you were going to ask me to pray. And so when I asked him to pray, it was just like a moment for him. It was a moment for him saying, you know, God's a part of my life, not happenstance. That is so cool. That's so cool. I stop off at a place, and I'm going to go into it, and I go, I wonder who I'm going to bump into. And sometimes I bump into someone I really have no idea. Had something going on at the fire department physicals this week, and people I got to hang out with, and I just it's all out there. It's just not me. It's everywhere. So reflect on God's goodness. He's showing up all the time. I'm striding in the presence of God, alive in the land of living, and I will continue to serve the Lord. He's like, yes, this is awesome. This is what I get to do. So part of the course is also love and live from a healthy soul. We're going to be unpacking that, what that looks like. You've got Ephesians there, talks about our identity in Christ. That's where it starts. We'll be talking about reset, renew, resist, and re-engage. And if we get those ideas, we'll be on our way to a replenished soul so we can love and live out of that rather than try to live out of a grumpy, restless, stinky, chip on our shoulder soul. Doesn't go too well when that's the operating system for our life. So it's up to you. I said really in the beginning, I said, if the soul foundation is not a part of your thinking, if you're not going to try to lean in that and at least unpack it, I'm not saying in this moment you need to say yes to Jesus. That'd be great if you did, if you haven't before. But if it's just like off the table, that's not a part of the equation, then you're just not going to get it. Because we either move towards rest or you will move rest out. And a lot of our restlessness is because we've moved rest out. It's me. It's you. It's up to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're patient with us. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you gave Jesus as a model. Thank you that you gave Solomon as an example. Some areas to follow, some areas not to follow. Father, help us as we look to a summer of a little more downtime. Help us to be in the course of replenishment. Father, if there's anyone who's never said yes to you as we celebrate communion, would they get an eye to that? Would they see who you are? And maybe this would be the time that they say yes. And for those of us who have said yes to you, we've got heaven in the future with you, perfectly, completely uninterrupted with you. As we wait for that, may we enjoy the rhythms of life. May we see the challenges as opportunities to point to you and to walk with you arm in arm, and sometimes to have you carry us on your back. We're thankful that you're an engaged God. Help us to be an engaged follower. In Jesus' name, amen.
I ask you to please.